Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
The study of Ecclesiastes chapter 11. How many people can testify to that? That God have given us so much, but I was not gracious in giving. I was not seeking to be a gracious giver. And the God removed from me what I've had. And how many have testified to this? And yet what a blessing those that have been gracious enough in not only giving portion to 7, but also to 8. In other words, going above what is even needful in order to meet the need of the people of God and the problems that rise around us. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4 for a moment. I want you to see what Paul said to the Philippians in chapter 4, and verse 15, Paul wrote to the Philippians, remember he was in prison, and the Philippian brethren have supported the missionary, this Paul, and he said to them, now ye Philippians, Philippians 4:15, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no assembly communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. And then he said, for even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Now, not because I desire a gift, he said to them, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all, he said, and I abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing unto God. Can you imagine? The brethren in Philippi sent to the Apostle Paul some things for his needs through Epaphroditus, and for him it became like a sweet smell and a sacrifice that was acceptable and well-pleasing with God. You see, faith in God is not merely a religion, it's a relationship. And therefore, even before the Messiah Yeshua was born, under the law, the nation of Israel were instructed through Shlomo, the king of Israel, give a portion to 7 and also to 8. For thou knowest not what evil shall befall upon the earth. You never know what's going to happen in the future. One day your turn will be. And you will need to be the one who will need the help or the support and whatever problems you might have. Make sure that you are not neglecting to seek to be a gracious giver. And now in verse 3, Solomon points to nature. He looks at nature and he makes an application to the situation or to the statement that he just said. And so in verse 3 he says, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if a tree fall towards the south or towards the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. Now it's so interesting. You know, he's remarkable in the way in which he presents things. Now you and I looking at the clouds, we see the clouds are dark. They are filled with water. What do you think? They're going to keep it there? No, Shlomo is saying. He says, really, act the way the clouds will act. If the Lord had blessed you so much, and the Lord had been gracious towards you, he's saying to Israel, don't neglect to pour out so others can be blessed as well. That's like the cloud. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty. It is natural for them to empty themselves upon the earth. So the cycle will continue. The evaporation of the water will come up. They will be filled again and they will pour again. They will be filled again and they will pour again. You see, he says, really, look at it in a natural way. Even the clouds can teach us a spiritual lesson. Even the nature that God has provided for us here on earth teaches us a great lesson. And you know, when our people of old Israel came to the promised land, in Deuteronomy chapter 11, before they even enter into the land, God said to our people of old Israel, he says, if you will obey me, if you will submit to my authority, I promise you that I will send rain upon the land of Canaan, the land of Israel. It represents blessing, showers of blessing. And he's saying, Israel, don't forget, obey my words in order that the blessings will flow upon the land. But when you don't obey, then what happened? The rain is not descending. God shut the cloud. He stopped them from pouring, from giving rain on the land of Israel, because the way Israel reacted is the way God had poured upon the nation, the people of Israel, the blessing. So he told them this in chapter 11 of the book of Deuteronomy. You make sure that you obey my word in order for the showers of blessing to come, the early rain and the latter rain. And if you know Israel, those of us that were born and raised in Israel know very well that if there is no rain in the land of Israel, we're in big trouble. Today, if you're going to go to the Sea of Galilee, it's over 5 meters below the right place where it should be, because there was not enough rain in the last couple of years. Even today, they are speaking about the danger of what's going to happen when there is not enough rain. We are depending upon the rivers. We are depending upon the Kinneret, the Sea of Galilee. We are depending upon the rain that comes from heaven. No rain, no food, no bread. So Israel is dependent upon the blessings of God. And what about us? Spiritually speaking, if we are going to be spiritually blessed by the Lord also desires us to respond, to learn from the clouds. But also, beloved brothers and sisters, realize, notice that what he says in the same verse 3, verse 3b of Ecclesiastes chapter 11, he says, not only look at the clouds who will pour the rain when they are full upon the land, upon the earth, but even if a tree fall towards the south or towards the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. Here's another lesson. Now, a tree that is falling down the south or the north represents the location where we are. We cannot meet every need in the world, obviously. But there are local needs. We have family needs. We have congregational needs. We have work needs. We have all sort of needs that are surround us. He says, wherever you fall, in the north or the south, it will stay there. You fix your faithfulness and your commitment there, because it is going to stay there. In other words, you learn even from the natural way, when a tree falling and so on, there you need to look around and see the situation that's existing there and meet the need right there and then. So act like the clouds and realize, like the tree who fall down, where are you located that you can meet the need? Where the tree fell, there he stays. There is the responsibility that one has in their life. Now, amazing how Shlomo can take a proverb such as this. A tree falling, fall there. Here's the application. The clouds are full with water, pouring rain. Here's the second application. He's very practical. He's using natural things. He's using the things that are by nature. We can see them as they are. And he applied them spiritually to his people, the people of Israel. And we can learn, beloved brothers and sisters, from these lessons. Let me just read one more verse that is found in Mark chapter 16 in connection with giving and spreading. Look what Yeshua said in Mark chapter 16. Yeshua said in verse 15, this is before his ascension, he said, and I'm reading, go into all the world, represented by the waters here, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and be baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned. And what we learn here, that when Yeshua left this scene back to heaven, he says, spread God's word. Spread the bread upon the waters. You never know what's going to happen. There are some who will believe and accept the Lord, and some who will reject the message. But you make sure to be faithful. Both spiritually give the word, and practically help people with need. Support the things that need to be supported. Don't neglect it, because if you are going to be a blessing and live a life that is pleasing to the Lord, you need to seek to be a gracious giver. Verses 1, 2, and 3. So he continue now. The second thing that Shlomo is saying in this passage, not only that God's people, Israel at that time, are to be a generous givers, but Israel, and that is you and I as well, are to seek to be diligent. Diligent laborers. Not to be careless and undiligent and indecisive in what we do. We are to be diligent, faithful, to be committed to what we do, not to be careless. And so again, Shlomo, to remind you, he's writing about 900 BC. He is the king of Israel. He's writing at the latest part of his life. He's older by now. He made many, many mistakes. He can see the vanity of vanity, that all is vanity. What shall it profit a man here under the sun? Everything that he do, everything seems to fail here in this world. And so he's saying now, even though this is the condition in this world, let us seek to be generous givers, but also let us seek to be diligent laborers. God have given to us a work to do. And so he says in verse 4 now, do not be indecisive. Sow in order that you will reap in due time. Don't hesitate. And again, I would like you to see the context here of the whole chapter is giving. It is giving to wherever needs exist here in this world. So he says in verse 4, he that observes the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. In other words, if you're going to say, well, I'll wait till things will be fine with me, I'll get a good job, I'll get a good situation in my life, things will be well with me, then maybe later on I will give to the Lord's work. Or later on, I will help this brother, this sister in need. Later on, you see, because I'm watching the clouds, right? You see, I'm watching the wind. I want to see how it's blowing. Is it blowing to my favor or not? Or is it blowing against me? Are the clouds already filled with the rain? Is everything is fine with me? I met all my needs. Everything is okay and so on. Then later on, maybe I might be helpful a little bit. You know what he said? He that observes the wind shall not sow. Why should I sow? The wind doesn't come to my favor, you see? And then he said, he that regardeth the clouds, they are not yet full. Why should I reap? I'll take my time. In other words, this kind of attitude is so unhealthy, both for the spiritual life of a person and for the practical life of, what, we're going to wait only when things are well and everything is fine, only then we're going to help people, or only then we'll support the work of the Lord? Now, can you imagine if the Lord's work will be done without any support from the people of God? I often wondered, somebody asked me the other day, Brother Gideon, do you preach on giving? I said, I don't like to preach on giving. Because if I preach on giving, people will think that we are only those preachers who won't just give me, give me, give me. But I arrived to chapter 11. I didn't say give. Shlomo HaMelech said, Shlomo the king says give. But the point is, he's teaching all of us, all God's people, to develop an attitude of being gracious giver, but also realize that we are to be diligent in things, in the work of the Lord, and in the work that the Lord have entrusted unto us. And that's why he says, you know, don't wait until the wind will blow your way. And don't wait until the clouds will be filled with water, and then you can say, now I can help and I can give. No. It's got to be part of our regular routine. God's people are to learn from the Lord, and how oftentimes the Lord have taught us these lessons throughout Scripture. And I want you for a moment to turn to John, the Gospel of John chapter 4. Just turn there for a second. John chapter 4, there the Lord is speaking. In verse 34, says, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And then he continued, say ye not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the field, for they are white and ready for harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And therein is the saying true, one soweth, another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye have entered into their labors. See what the Lord is saying? Don't wait until, say, maybe later on. I mean, don't delay in participating in the Lord's work and in sowing and reaping. If you will wait until the wind blow your way and until the clouds be filled with the rain, until everything is fine with you and everything is okay with you, you will never have part in the things of the Lord. You will never have part in sowing and reaping. God's people are to participate in sowing and reaping. Whatsoever man soweth, Galatians 6, that shall he also reap. And it's good, it's very healthy for the God's people to participate in the things of the Lord and be helpful and blessing to the children of God around them and even outside the gospel. Think about the message of the gospel that have been proclaimed for many, many generations from the time that Yeshua went to heaven, went back to heaven, and the Spirit of God came on earth. Think about the disciples and later on those that heard the message. Up till today, 2,000 years, the message of the gospel is being proclaimed. Door to door. Bible classes. Through the pulpit ministry meeting. Through the television and the radio and internet and newspaper and magazine and all the messages that are being proclaimed in one way or another, recording CDs, cassettes, and all the things that have been prepared in order to share the message of the gospel. Are we going to wait until the wind blows our way and the clouds are filled with water before we'll participate in that? We will never sow. That's what Shlomo said. He that observe the wind will not sow, he will regard as the cloud shall not reap. And therefore, notice what he says now in verse 5. There are things that we just do not know when and how they will happen. Verse 5. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in a womb of hair that is with a child, even so thou knowest not the work of God who maketh all. You never know, beloved brothers and sisters. You never know how your prayer, your support, your help, and my help, all of us who work in the things of the Lord, you never know how God will use what gracious things that we have done in the Lord's things in order to be a blessing to people around us. We do not know the way the wind blowing. We either do not know how bones are growing in the womb of a woman that's going to give birth one day to a child. We do not know. God knows. And therefore, God doesn't want us to withhold and say, wait a minute, you know, until I make sure that everything is my way. And you never know how things will happen. The Lord is the one who knows all things. He's the one that makes all things. He's going to use your gracious giving and support in order to be able to lead others that will benefit from the grace giving that you have shown, that the people of God have shown. He's saying this to Israel. And he's saying it to us as well today. And so in verse 6, therefore, in light of what I said, don't wait until the wind goes your way, and don't wait until you know exactly every detail. Make sure, notice verse 6, he said, in the morning sow thy seed. In the evening withhold not thine hand. For thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Keep on sowing, he's saying to Israel. In the morning, sow. In the evening, don't withhold. Why? Because you do not know what's going to happen. How the Spirit of God working, how God is going to use the support, the giving of God's people for the benefit of others. As he said earlier, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. One day the Lord will reward his people for their gracious giving, but also for their diligent in laboring, in doing that which he called them to do. So, and you will see how in due time you will also reap. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3 for a moment. Another verse from the New Testament to link with it. Colossians chapter 3, and the verse is 17. And whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do it in the name of our Lord Yeshua, Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father. But he, whatever the Lord have entrusted us to do, whatever responsibility that he had had, whatever he lay on our heart in order to participate in the Lord's work, we are to do it as unto the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, because God is being glorified and we can give thanks to him. He ultimately will use it for the glory of the Lord. I often like the story of the boy, this Jewish boy in Galilee, that he had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And you remember in John chapter 6, how the Lord took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes of this little boy, and some said to him, you know, there's a boy here, but what is it? He had just 5 loaves and 2 fishes. What does it amount? So many, there are thousands of people in Galilee, in the Galilee, there waiting there to be fed. And Yeshua took the bread and the fish, and he lifted up his eyes and he prayed to God. Can you imagine? And out of 5 loaves, 2 fish, more than 5,000 people had been fed. Amazing! Amazing! Of course, you know, you and I might say, this is not going to happen these days. I mean, how is it possible? Well, it has happened because the Bible teaches us this. God is able to multiply, to bless what we do for him, and to bring an increase. Wherefore, he says, sow in the morning, withhold not in the evening. Just keep on doing what the Lord have asked you to do. Be faithful. You never know what will happen. Eventually, the Lord is going to bless his word. So we are in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, Kohelet chapter 11, verses 1 to 3, seek to be a generous giver. Verses 4 to 6, seek to be a diligent laborer. Now in verses 7 and 8, he continues, he says, listen, seek to be a pleasant person. A pleasant person. And so I'm reading verse 7. You see, in verse 7 now, he says, truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. Then verse 8, he says, but if a man living many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. So now in verses 7 and 8, he continued to speak to Israel. And then he's saying to Israel, listen, it's not only that it's important for you to be a gracious givers, not only that it's important for you to seek to be diligent laborers, but Israel, and he's saying to us as well, you also need to be a pleasant person. You know how It is so wonderful. I just came, as you know, I was speaking in the States, and I just returned back, and we were staying in a location where the young girl that was responsible there had such a cheerful heart, a cheerful voice. I had to call her, Irene and I were there, and I had to call her, listen, you know what, we are going to come to this place again just because the way that you presented yourself to us. Hello, how are you? How are you doing? You know, it was so pleasant. When you look around and everybody is gloomy and moody and sad in this sad world, this young, she was a believer in Yeshua. Apparently her father is one of the leaders in one of the local churches there, local assemblies there, and she was so cheerful. She was so pleasant. It was enjoyable to be listening to her and being in her presence because of the manner where she conducted herself. And so, you know, brothers and sisters, if we are going to be a generous givers and a diligent laborers, we also, Shlomo says to Israel, need to be a pleasant people, pleasant persons. It is very hard to be with one, you might say, it could be me, it could be you, when we are not pleasant, when we are not kind and gracious. In fact, sometimes people, when we behave like that, people can say, listen, I don't want to hear what you have to say. I don't want to be beside you even. Because you are not pleasant, you are not kind, you are not gracious. I cannot take it. I have enough problems at home. I have a problem with this and that. Shlomo, Solomon is encouraging, Kohelet is encouraging the people of Israel to be pleasant. That's why he says, truly the light is sweet.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.